There's a dryer running over my head. It's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is Monday morning. Monday, 7:17 a.m. 7:17. Almost 7:18. Yeah, it is a top of the morning. More of a normal day for me today. Just have one project to do at my studio. I'm at the home studio, by the way, this morning. I'll be at the worldwide headquarters later on today. So if any news breaking news happens, I might throw in a breakthrough case of news for those of you who are news junkies. We have a lot of things going on in the world today, or in the past. I'm dwelling in the past because it's what I talk about is history, short term history. Here we have there's a lot of things going on. Namely, by that I mean, you know, what's in my cup. There's a lot of things going on in my cup, but it's nothing. It's pretty much the normal stuff. I have vanilla chai with vanilla creamer. And I have a backup cup of regular, well, it's not just regular homemade sweet tea. It does have the bulk of it is homemade sweet tea. I have to say there is a little bit of something else in there. And what is in there in the backup cup is a little bit of a Starbucks iced chai. The reason that's in there is because I have this gift card I was given last Christmas. I'm not sure how long the thing lasts. So I happened to be walking by a Starbucks. I got done doing what I was doing in Chicago the other day and getting ready to head to my car. And I walked past this little Starbucks thing and I thought, I should probably test out this gift card, make sure it works. So I got a vanilla or egg, iced chai latte and picked that up. And it worked. The gift card worked. So I drank that for a while. The problem with the iced drinks, and people don't realize this, is when you get an iced drink, you don't get as much. If you get a hot drink, the whole thing is just drink. When you get an iced drink, it's like half the drink, and it's half ice and half drink. So just drink that. Soak that in for a drink. This show's going off in the drink. So I got this venti iced chai latte, whatever. And I got it and went to my car, got the car ready to go, started driving home. It's about a 2-hour drive. And so I ended up drinking almost all of it until I got home and had some left. So I ended up putting that in my sweet tea. And then I put more sweet tea in there after I drank half of that. So it's about an eighth of a chai. It's got the flavor there, a little bit of flavor. Let's taste it. Yeah, it has just a little bit of chai flavor there, but that's about it. It's mostly just sweet tea. So it's just about perfect because it's a sweet tea, but it's got that little bit of chai latte thing in there going on. But I also have chai in my other cup, my main cup, my number one cup. I think it's better chai. This chai is creamier than the chai from Starbucks. Starts to make it a little bit spicy. They're creamy chai, spicy. They try to get the best of both worlds in there. I don't know. It just ends up tasting like cardboard to me, but I'm not a big fan of the spice. Okay, so anyway, onward and upward. We have a few things to talk about. There's more things that have come out about this where do I even start here? One of the things that's not really being broadcast very much at all on the legacy media, mainstream media, is that there's absolutely no, how you want to say it, there's no coverage of this thing. There is... there has been a, in the last couple of weeks, there have been a huge investigation into these whistleblowers from the FBI. The treatment that they've received is absolutely, it's frightening in some ways, the way that the FBI has gotten away with this. Now, of course, now we, at the same time, you have the Durham report that's come out and basically excoriated the FBI and what they've done and how they investigated Trump, and they didn't have any right to do it. They didn't follow the law. Durham made it sound really, he's like, their adherence to procedures concerning their whatever to the law. What he said was they broke the law. They did not follow the law at all going into this investigation of Trump and the people around Trump. Crossfire Hurricane was not predicated. And there was a couple other investigations on the side that were the side names. I don't know what they were called. But they also had no predication as well. In other words, they were not bona fide, justified investigations. They were politically motivated. That's it, period. That's what they were. They were illegal. The FBI broke the law, and by the law, I mean the constitutional law. Well, we didn't follow procedures that were in adherence with the law. No, you broke the law. You swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, which means you swore an oath to uphold individual rights, and you will not go against those individual rights. That's the law right there. That's the law. And due precedence is your ability to go around that person's right to their individual rights. In other words, if a law enforcement officer stops your car because you were speeding, and they don't have any other reason. They don't have any reason to search your car. Or maybe you made a turn, you know, ran a red light or whatever happened, whatever you did, you rolled through a stop sign. And they decide to search your car. They want to search your car. They have to have probable cause. Now they will make stuff up. And it becomes obvious when they do, when they're on record doing this. Whenever you see a video of these guys, well, I think I smell alcohol in your breath. I think I smell marijuana. Whatever. Or they call the dogs out, and somebody brings their neighbor's German Shepherd over, and the German Shepherd sits down. Oh, he triggered. He triggered. That's his trigger. Oh, okay. Now we can search the car. Now they have probable cause, supposedly. Yeah, this just gets into a whole bunch of stuff that happens. But one of the things that was said recently is there's in one of these hearings with these whistleblowers, these FBI guys, is how much they, you know, nobody hates a bad cop worse than a good cop. Or nobody hates a bad cop more than a bad. Nobody hates a bad cop more than a good cop, because it makes them look bad. You know, they're doing their best to do things on the up and up and do things right, and then a bad cop comes along and gets away with stuff, and that just, there's nothing worse than that. It's the epitome of hypocrisy. Just looks bad. Makes them all look bad, and it's. It's this kind of thing. Now, if you remember back when Trump was being investigated by Adam Schiff, I don't think Adam Schiff, I think he used up his entire lifetime worth of the term whistleblower in about a month's time. I don't think he's allowed to say the word whistleblower anymore, because he said it every other word for about 2 months. That's all he said was whistleblower, the whistleblower, protect the whistleblower. Okay. They didn't even allow the identity of the whistleblower to come forward. All we got to hear about was what the whistleblower told them. And then come to find out, the whistleblower was actually connected to Adam Schiff's counsel. his committee or whatever, his staff, basically. So the whole thing was a farce from the very beginning. In fact, there's some speculation that he didn't even have a whistleblower. He just came up with this idea that we're going to have a whistleblower who's going to have to protect their identity because we don't want them to get any retaliation or any harm come to them. So we have to protect them under the Whistleblower Act. They have all these protections. And we'll just make this stuff up, say that there was a whistleblower, and we don't have to divulge anybody's identity. Well, how convenient. We have witnesses that you can't see, that you can't testify, that you can't cross-examine. So here we go. Well, now we have whistleblowers, real whistleblowers. They're coming forward. They're willing to speak in front of Congress. And the Democrats are attacking them. They are absolutely attacking them and sticking up for the FBI. The Democrats are accusing the Republicans of wanting to defund the police. Who did you hear screaming about defunding the police just a couple years ago? They were running on it as a platform. Of course, now they didn't. Because the only police, keep in mind, the only police that Congress is actually in charge of defunding are the federal police, the FBI, some of the other alphabet soup organizations, the BATF. The BATFE. I don't know what it is. They keep adding things just like the LGBTQ, BATBF thing. I don't know what they're doing. But they continue to do this. And they were just excoriating these guys who have been retaliated against. There's this unique thing in law enforcement where they can suspend you. In other words, you're still working here, but we're suspending you. You can't work anywhere else. If you go to work somewhere else, you're going to lose your job here, but we're not going to pay you. Basically, they're suspending their pay. So they got him stuck in this. They got him trapped. One guy has been over a year. He hasn't been paid. They have crushed him. That's their attempt, anyways, to crush him. And they come up with other trumped-up charges on these guys. He showed pictures of something that he wasn't supposed to, classified information. What are you talking about? They got one guy for passing information out to his colleagues about something that happened on January 6th. It was open source information. Open source information. None of it was classified. It was Google searched information he was passing out to his colleagues. This is absolutely not only allowed, but required under his job description. And they claim that he did this for political reasons, so they suspended him. That was the reason they gave for suspending him. Not because he came. These guys were working their way up the chain of command. And the Democrats, their lawyers are saying, well, these guys aren't whistleblowers. They don't fall under the definition of whistleblowers. They absolutely are whistleblowers. There's no better definition. They went up the chain of command to talk about why they thought that there were some searches and some warrants on some people that were illegitimate. They had concerns about the way these searches took place and the kind of predication they had for these investigations. And they saw that there was that the FBI was being weaponized by a political party, and they put this up against their sounds like the dryer over my head is now finally stopped for a little while. So they put this out there, and the Democrats are attacking them, saying they're not whistleblowers. It's amazing to me the emotional motivation that these people have. It's just that they are completely and thoroughly, like 99% of what they're motivated by is emotion. They make up facts on the spot just because they feel like that's what needs to happen. This typically, a lot of times, what happens with these guys is they come up with percentages and all kinds of words. Like saying 87.5% of all statistics are made up on the spot. This is the kind of thing that they do. They make up stuff because it seems good. When you hear them say gun violence is the number one cause of child death in America. You hear these kind of statistics all the time, and then you have to ask, wait, what about this? What about automobile accidents? What about accidental drownings? What about cancer? Gun violence is the number one violence killer of children. Number two is domestic violence kills more children. So you have to look at how they're looking at this stuff. That's, oh, you know, kids are just dropping dead because of guns. It's killing all our kids. This is not what's happening. And yet this is the way they portray it because they like to twist the words around or use sectors of studies or whatever it is. Well, that's not included in this study. It's not included in this number because that's something else. So they just generalize the statement and say it's the number one killer of children. This happens a lot with a lot of different things. And you have to take that step back and say, does this make sense? I know children who've died from other things. I don't know any children who've died from gun violence. How close to home is this? Does it really make sense? Then start, if it doesn't, or if it does, maybe you've known, you know, several children who've been killed by guns. Maybe you think that is, but take a step back for just a second and make sure it sounds correct and start looking into some other numbers. Well, you can get numbers from the CDC, and the CDC has been politicized as well. They'll put out numbers. When you do a Google search, the first thing you'll see. Now, keep in mind who owns Google. Alphabet owns Google. Isn't it ironic that we call the alphabet organizations in our government alphabet soup organizations, and now Alphabet owns Google? Now, keep in mind, the guys who started Google sold it to this company with a bunch of money who invested all these millions of dollars into making it what it is today. It is a major surveillance company. If you don't think it has any ties to our agencies, you're just living in la-la land. It's not some conspiracy theory wacko idea. There's something in the budget. This is little known fact here. I'm going to give you a little insider information. There's something called black bag funding within our budgets, within the budget of the U.S. military, the U.S. budget, basically. Black bag funding exists in many different organizations. It is called a black bag because there's no way to see inside of it. They have it internalized certain funding that they don't have to disclose to the public. It is estimated, I know this was about 5 years ago, it was estimated that I think it was in 2018 or 2017. The amount of money in black bag funding was about $84 billion within our agencies, within the agencies. I'm not talking about NASA. I'm not talking about Skunk Works. I'm not talking about military stuff like that. I'm not talking about the DOD. I'm talking about the intelligence agencies. $84 billion that does not have to be accounted for. Well, it has to be accounted for to their higher-ups. But if their higher-ups are the people who are running the FBI right now, what does that tell you? Peter Strzok and Andy McCabe talking about getting rid of a political opponent. And they've got access to these kinds of funds. They've got approval for these kinds of funds. It's a lot of power to be wielding around. It's just, it's gotten way beyond the pale, some of this stuff. I don't know if any of you have heard about this. There's that. The other thing I want to talk about, I just listened to this morning. It was pretty funny. Matt Walsh did an interview with this guy, and it is hilarious. Just the whole premise, just everything about this guy. And you know the guy is just sticking it in the face of he's a councilman or whatever he is. He's some kind of a politician guy who's in office or running for on council or whatever he's doing. I wish I could remember this guy's name. I also want to talk about some of these people doing protests. Here's one. Climate bedwetters turn the Trevi Fountain, I think it's in France, black during protest. Maybe it was in some other, maybe it was in Australia, I don't know. Because of Sky Australia, Sky News Australia is where it came from. But wherever the Trevi Fountain is, I don't know where it's at. Protesting in general, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. I'll make sure I get back to that. Put a pin in that. I'm going to put a pin in it. There's my pin. I'm going to put that right there. Right there. Okay. So there you go. And now, I forgot what I was talking about before. I was going to talk about this. There's so much background noise here. Sorry. This dryer running over my head is just really loud. And I know you can hear it. When I talk, it breaks the gate. So all of that to say this. We have what else was I talking about? Oh, this interview with this guy. He's identifying. He's identifying as a woman of color, a lesbian woman of color. you can't watch this and Matt Walsh, you know, kudos to him for keeping such a straight face throughout this whole thing. In fact, I'm gonna see if I can look up this guy's name because he's come out now as a lesbian woman of color. It's gonna, cause, you know, he's married to a woman and he's. His whole logic, his whole train of logic in this whole thing is just, it's impeccable. He's really shoved it back in their face. And of course, they've accused him of being insincere. And of course, how dare you question how dare you do that? You shouldn't know that, which is exactly what they say when you question someone's gender or have them define their gender. What is this? Let me see. Matt Walsh. There it is. Matt Walsh. I'm pretty sure it was fairly recent, so it's got to be here somewhere. Let's see what we can find here real quick. Videos. Here it is. No, that's not it. Videos. Let's see what we got here. Hasn't been that long ago. Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. What's the guy's name? I'm gonna pull this up and see if Ryan Webb. He changed his name from Ryan, the male version of Ryan, to the female version of Ryan. And it's just, this whole interview is done with a straight face. I mean, the whole thing is done just as red. As real as it, and they kind of give you this There's a lot of things that you don't notice until you kind of look behind. They give it this whole vibe of being like the evening sit down interview. The CNN, the MSNBC, 48 hours, 60 minutes kind of feel. I don't. It's this whole thing, and of course, in the background, Matt's sitting there on this stool, and they got this light zooming in on him. He got these lights behind him and stuff. Everything behind him is like backlit with all this stuff, and it looks like he's down in a basement somewhere with like a shelf behind him with all kinds of just random stuff. But they got the lighting all right. It's all. And then behind the guy who's doing this is this. It's like a saber or something. It's weird lighting behind the guy doing. It's just. It's pretty funny. And what's funny about it is that it's done so seriously. And then of course they have all these different interjections of him being challenged by people, saying that how he should be ashamed of himself for making a mockery of. And of course, he goes right back in their face of saying, how dare you question my gender? That's not allowed. So it's very well done. This guy's brilliant. These are the kind of people we need in office. I mean, this didn't just happen. He has some foresight, seeing the ridiculousness in all this. You can't be this. That based, you have to be extremely based, which is the term the kids are using now, which we used to say grounded. You can't be that grounded in truth, or what he calls based. It's based. You have to be based to be well grounded in truth in order to have this kind of understanding to the point where you can dance around their ridiculous, insane, abstract morality. That's all. It's synthetic. It's not a real. They have no real morals. They have no real morality. It is synthetic. It is something made up. It's not based on anything external. It is all this emotional feeling, like, oh, we have to. I hope I can find. Maybe I can find. I'll actually play this. See if I can find this transgender rant. Let's see if I can find this. It's just happened recently. She just goes on and on and on with this ridiculous thing. Another thing that was brought before Congress, I believe, or before a council recently, was how these two people who were forced to be as children, as 14-year-olds, forced into being transgender, and actually had operations done to them, and it just were swept away by this whole thing. And she, there's two of them. Their stories are just horrible. They're horrific. They're very sad. Of course, they're coming out saying that they were. This is ridiculous, and their lives have been ruined by this, basically. I wish I could find this. Who actually had it on? I think it was. I can't find it, but she goes on and on. She has this chant thing going on. It's got to be here somewhere. And I apologize for the background noise. It's just, I know it's got to be annoying. It's annoying for me. Where did he go? It's got to be here. It disappeared. It's been scrubbed. Is this it? Yeah, this is it. This is it right here. Let's see if I can play this for you. Because it is.
Trans people, we love trans people. Trans people belong here. We need trans people. We love trans people. Trans people belong here. We need trans people. We love trans people. Trans people belong here. We need trans people. We love trans people. Trans people belong.
Now, this is being played in 1.25 times speed. Now, let me play this in normal speed. I'm going to play this in normal speed so you get a feel for how ridiculous this is.
Here. We need trans people. We love trans people. Trans people belong here.
She actually gets
here.
Out of breath.
We need trans people.
Because she's so out of shape.
Trans people. Trans people belong here.
She's probably like 30 years old. And she can't even.
Trans people. Trans people belong here.
This is her just doing this. Constantly doing this.
Trans people belong here. We need trans people. We love trans people. Trans people belong here. We need trans people. We love trans people. Trans people belong here.
She's looking down at her notes like she has to make sure she knows the words.
Trans people belong here. We need trans people. We love trans people. Trans people belong here. We need trans people. We love trans people.
The gentlelady's time is up, as far as I'm concerned. She keeps on going with this. This goes on for like several minutes. This is all she does. Aren't you glad that somebody elected her? This is the kind of brilliance that we have in some people's office. This is a Nebraska senator, state senator. So let's get back to this whole protest thing. I saw an article this morning where a woman at the Cannes Festival, which I don't even know what that is. I assume it's some kind of film festival in some place. Is it in Cannes, France or something? I don't know where it is. It's over European thing or whatever, wherever it is. I don't know. All I keep seeing is just all this stuff about the Cannes. And I don't even want to know. That's why I don't know, is because I don't want to know. So she's wearing a dress. That is in the Ukraine colors of the flag, Ukraine flag colors. And she, as she's making her entrance, she dumps fake blood on herself. She was booted out. Now, here's the question I have for you on this. What exactly was she saying, first of all? I have no idea. Did she make a statement? You know, a verbal statement about, I didn't hear about any verbal statement. But if you just go by what she did there, just the actions of what she did, I have no idea what that means. I have no idea if she's protesting the war, or if she's protesting Russia, or if she's protesting anti-war. I don't know what she's protesting. She's protesting the killing that's going on in Ukraine? I don't know. I have no idea. And even if she is, even if I had an idea, what difference at this point, Senator, does it make? What are we doing here? How does this change anything? This all this effort that's being put into, it's just this self-righteousness that comes out of people. Look at how virtuous I am, and I'm going to make a statement by doing this. And yes, I'm a martyr because they booted me out of the Cannes Festival. And nobody knew who you were until you did this. And now, in 5 minutes from now, nobody will know who you are again. You know, I heard something else this morning that I don't think I've ever heard this. I probably have, but I don't recall ever hearing this. But it's probably pretty close to true. And unfortunately. And it's kind of a pessimistic look at people in general. Now, we're talking about people in general. I hate to say that people are like this, but people are, look, folks, people are selfish. They're self-centered, selfish, arrogant. And until you go down a road of self-discovery and you don't, in really being truthful and honest with yourself, to become self-aware, this, you will not get a grasp on this till you realize the depravity, the potential for depravity that you have within yourself. The statement was this. I'm probably going to butcher this up. Don't share your feelings with people. Don't open up to anybody. half the people won't care. The other half, or don't share your troubles with anyone. Half the people don't care. The other half are delighted that you have them. Secretly delighted that you have problems. It's like they like the fact that you're having troubles. Now the other half of them don't care. The other half kind of happy that you have the problems. They're gloating in it. Now, there's got to be a small percentage in there somewhere. It's got to be like 49% and 49%, and there's got to be like 2% of the people who actually do care. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. It could be more than that. It could be less. I don't know. But it's not that people don't care. I think there's a whole lot more going on than that. People have busy lives. They got stuff in their own lives they're trying to deal with, and you come along with your problems and you act like, and here again, this is a selfish kind of point of view to think that somebody should care. Well, I deserve, I'm entitled to you caring about me. And then the other half of the people who are happy about the fact, they're the ones who are jealous that you've got problems because they didn't think you had any problems, and finally you got some problems because you deserve it. Now you know how I feel. That's the kind of, now you got problems because now you know how I was suffering for, you didn't care about me when I had my, it's one of those things where all of a sudden the person who's asking these people, they're telling these people their troubles, did they ever care about anybody else's troubles? But they only care about their own troubles. And all of a sudden everybody's supposed to care about their troubles. It's a vicious cycle, folks. And what it boils down to is at its bare grounded roots, it is that people are generally very selfish. Not necessarily intention. I think people have good intentions in terms of they want to be able to care for people, and they want to be. I think that they want to try to be a little bit more altruistic. I don't think that they're. This just gets back to the whole problem of people in general, man in general, mankind. At our core roots, that since the beginning, since the first temptation was given into, it was due to selfishness. Oh, look, I can be like the gods. I can be like God. I can know good and evil. Did he really say, well, no, didn't really say that. He said this, but it means the same thing. So I'm going to go ahead and eat the apple. Because it's all about me. So it's one of those things where we just have to recognize that kind of stuff, I think, in ourselves, and be aware that we have to do the best we can. A constitutional republic with individual rights, the whole thing we hold dear in this country, all the things that we uphold or supposed to uphold or have upheld, or this principle, this ideology, I think that it actually has become one of the things that makes it difficult, I think, for people is to, we do the best we can with those things. And at the end of the day, it's not perfect. But it gives us a greater, a higher place to be with regard to our ability to function with liberty and freedom. It's not perfect. It's not utopia. It's not a euphoric, sense of, now, what the democratic socialists would have you believe is that democratic socialism or communism is a utopian world where nobody lacks anything. The homeless problems are solved. The rich pay for everything. you don't have to worry about, everything's free, basically. You just have to work. You do your work, and then you get everything from the government. It's all provided for you. To each according to his need, from each according to their ability. Well, that's great if everybody's participating. Doesn't always happen that way. trans people are selfish. This is the kind of stuff that happens. So you cannot, and of course, the problem is that it's not utopia either. And it's, in fact, it's worse. And you got knuckleheads like this out there doing these kind of chants and stuff. That, what are you accomplishing? What do you get? All of your energy that you're expending there, the entire time you spent saying that, chanting that, who did you help there? Who did you help? This is the epitome, really. This is the climax, the pinnacle of just becoming virtuous. Are you really representing the people who elected you? Because you're elected as a representative in this country. You're not elected as an activist. This is where we're coming on. This is kind of the revelation I've been having here recently. We have activists now who are running for office, getting into power, getting into office, who have no intention of representing their constituents. They don't care about that. They don't care about representing their rights, unless it's a special group that they can ride the wave of, you know, popularity at the moment. And all the while, when you start giving special rights to people, that means other people are dispossessed. That means, and right now, for example, if you are a European, as Biden would say, European stock, like we're cattle. I'm sorry, but that his statement there is just, it's nobody ever talks about that. Less than half the people in the country will be white, European stock. Excuse me, we're not chattel here. I know that's how you see us, and that's kind of what it's become. But that statement was very bold, and it's anyway.
The only real allowable oppression of a group right now
is the white Christian male. I would say next is the white Christian woman, what's called trad wives, the traditional wife. They've always been under attack, but now it's mainstream. And you can define that however you want. But the white Christian male, conservative male, white Christian conservative male, is the enemy of everyone on the left. They are seen as the problem. We are the violent ones. We are the ones who should be oppressed, who should sit down and shut up, which has literally been said by the representative from Hawaii. Is it Maisie or whatever her name is? Not Maisie. What's her name? I don't remember her name. See if I can find it. Hawaii. There it is. Hirono. Maisie Hirono. It is Maisie Hirono. That's her name. She literally told white men to shut up as a public statement. As a representative, she was speaking formally. She told, they just need to shut up. Now, can you imagine what would happen if Kevin McCarthy or Jim Jordan were to say to, these black women just need to shut up? Can you imagine? And that's the kind of hypocrisy we have. They can get away with this kind of stuff all the time, because that's It's the life, that's the world we live in. Now, having said all that, oh, the dryer turned off again. These protests, what kind of an effect do they have at all? Now, when you see something like Bud Light, we've got people not buying something, speaking with their money, their purse, you know, when the funds start drying up and they realize the error of their ways. I think that at that point, now we can start to say, okay, that has an effect. Gluing yourself to a portrait and pouring soup on it. What have you done there besides make yourself look ridiculous? You and your cause, in my opinion, have just shown yourself to be, you just look stupid. What have you changed? Well, I'm bringing awareness. No, you're bringing awareness to yourself is what you're doing. You're 99% of what you're doing is all self-motivated, and it's all about yourself and how you look, how virtuous you are. You're so much better than everybody else because you've glued yourself to a painting. This happened, by the way. I don't know those of you who don't know this. These two kids, one of them looked like was obviously the leader of the two. The other one was just kind of along for the ride. This is usually the way it happens. And it's these kids, they walk in, they put glue on their hands, they glue themselves. The first, they pour soup. They open up a can of soup and they douse this painting. It's like a Mona Lisa or whatever it was. I don't know. It was some fancy Monet or whatever it was. And they glue their hands to this, or one of their hands to the painting after they do the soup thing. Now, what they didn't know, apparently, was that there was a plastic shield over the painting. So they glued themselves to the plastic shield. So the painting was fine. Is it really, you know, first of all, what you're doing now, you realize you're destroying private property. Somebody owns that. And it's going to have to be paid for. In fact, just the plastic, just redoing all the plastic, it's going to cost probably several $1,000s now that you've done damage. Well, insurance company will take care of it. Well, that's, you know, it makes the insurance prices go up. It makes just the fact that somebody's got to pay for it. An insurance company is basically just a co-op of everybody who pays in, and that's so that there's money there by percentages, one person has a problem, everybody has paid in enough to help each other out. That's basically what it is. Insurance companies don't just have a bunch of money. Hey, we want to insure you. So if something happens to you, we want to pay for your house. There's a bunch of people paying for your house, but their houses don't have problems. Yours does. And that's, they work the percentages of, we're all paying in. And then when someone has a problem, all that, your money then goes to their, to help them out. We're betting on 90% of you not having a problem with your house. That's how that works. In the meantime, we're investing your money so that it grows and we can insure more people. That's what's happening there. So to think that, oh, it's just the insurance company is going to pay. No, it's the people who are paying into the insurance companies that are paying for it. These knuckleheads who do this kind of protest. Now, recently there's this thing, I think it's called Frontline Patriots or whatever they are. Weird organization. Weird, very strange organization that I believe, in my opinion, everything I've looked into about this organization is fake and phony, and it has Fed written all over it. Everything about them is, it's a federal honeypot. It's what it is. It's an FBI honeypot. These guys do this stuff to attract nefarious white supremacists. So that people who look into the organization and want to join the organization, they can find out who is involved in the organization or who is involved in these kinds of things. It's to attract people so that it draws out the bad guys. That's what I believe it is. It only has about 250 members nationwide, and this is supposedly some organization we're supposed to be afraid of. There are other groups in this country that I'm much more concerned about. There are some ideologies that are much worse, much larger, and need to be looked into and, you know, watched. So there's this organization right the day, I think the day of Biden's crazy, you know, white supremacy is the biggest terrorist threat to our country or biggest threat to our nation or whatever it is, makes a statement like that. And then, you know, 2 hours later, they got these guys marching down through the streets of D.C. making statements. And the speech was just, it was gobbledygook crap. It was nothing but crap. I heard like 5 minutes of the speech, and one protester counter-protester, I guess you'd call him, on his bike, happened to be on a bike, following these guys around and yelling in front of a camera, making statements, oh, you guys need to go. And then they have as these guys are disappearing into the subway, they all roll up. It was done with government precision. This whole thing was done with, it had law enforcement all over it. These guys roll up their flags, put them all in U-Hauls, and they go marching down into the subway, and they all disappear. Never taking off their masks or their sunglasses. Now, if you know anything about facial recognition, the reason they're wearing the sunglasses is, have you ever worn a pair of sunglasses and you look at your phone and you have facial recognition on your phone and it can't recognize your face because you got your sunglasses on? Some sunglasses, it can see through because it's looking at your retinas. Other sunglasses, it cannot. It can't verify because it can't see your eyes. Because they're polarized. These guys were all wearing polarized sunglasses. All had the same kind of sunglasses on. All had the same kind of face masks. And hats on. And t-shirts. And pants. Everything was the same. Everything was the same. It was a uniform. All of them men. All about the same age. Now, first of all, if this group has 250, and there was about 250 people there, there's at least in this march, it looked like there's at least 150, maybe 250 people there. I challenge you to have a nationwide organization. Now, where do these guys live? Do they live all in one place? Do they have regular meetings? Because here's what's, and again, this comes back to this whole thing of stepping back and taking a look at what's going on in front of you. Ask some serious, critical questions. I challenge any of you to have an organization of 250 people. They claim that they have a membership of 250 people, men. If you had an organization, if you had a church of 250 people and you said, we're going to have a work day and we're going to go over here to the other side of town and we're going to work on this project over here. How many of those 250 people do you think would show up? You're doing really, really good if you can get 30 or 40% of your congregation to be able to show up. Now, let's say you've got 250 people scattered around throughout the U.S. Now, we have 50 states. And let's say you have two people in each state. What is that? Is that 100? No, it's four people. Let's say you have four people in each state. So that's 200 people. Okay, let's say five. Five people in each state. And that's 250, right? I guess there we go. Now I got my math straightened out. It's Monday. You have five people in each state of the country. And we're going to have a national event that's going to last 3 hours. On the Capitol Mall, wherever it was. How many of those 250 people do you think are going to show up? You're not going to get them all. They're not going to show up. People have lives. especially these guys at their age, they've probably got young families. You're telling me your kids didn't have baseball games that day that you decided to miss because you're going to go to this thing. This was not a cross-section of America. This was not the MAGA crowd. Guys are walking down the hall. They're saying, "Reclaim America." And it has all these upside down. Some of them have upside down flags. Some of them have right side up flags. Trying to make it look as much like a MAGA group as they could without being MAGA. They just had to look like it. It's all about optics. It's all about, this thing was, it was rotten to the core, what we saw there. And again, what did they accomplish? Let's say it was a legitimate organization. What did they accomplish by doing that? Not a thing. Well, folks, I believe it is about that time. It's been almost an hour. I've got other things to work on, and I know my wife is about to leave here soon, so I say goodbye to her. So it's Monday. We got a whole week ahead of us. I've got a show today, tomorrow, possibly a show on Wednesday. It's going to be a little tough getting a show in on Wednesday. I got some other things going on Wednesday morning. I have to be in Chicago again. The rest of the week will be crazy. I don't know about Friday's live show. We'll just have to see how that works out for us. In the meantime, folks, pray for the nation, pray for our leaders, pray for each other. And we will continue on with this great adventure we call the United States of America. I'll be here tomorrow morning, folks, hopefully. And hope you have a great day, great rest of your week. God bless. Take care.